Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FCN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, September 7th. Giddy up, baby. The start of the 2023 NFL season. It's here. Now, granted, as I record this, it's still a good 7 hours away, but man, oh man, the excitement is palpable. And so on today's podcast, we're going to preview wide receiver cornerback matchups. I'm not going to dive into Thursday Night Football, although I do want to talk briefly about Travis Kelce and what do you do? Just in case, I haven't gotten any news yet, but maybe by the time you listen to this, there will be news out there about Kansas City's future Hall of Fame tight end. So we'll get into that for you today as well. Appreciate everybody who has continued to review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Remember, the contest is still going on. We will be giving out one more Fantasy Plus subscription tomorrow on the show. So in order to enter, it's easy, man. Review the show on Apple Podcasts. In your review, leave your Twitter handle. And of course, give the show a rating as well. And you're entered in to win. We'll pick one more winner tomorrow. Of course, if you want Fantasy Plus over at FTNFantasy.com, just use the promo code RATPACK to get yourself 10% off on a Fantasy Plus subscription. Okay, so let me get into the latest on Travis Kelce. He's testing things out as of today. Like, he may even be testing things out as of me recording this. So the word from Tom Pelissero is that the Chiefs would, quote, put star tight end Travis Kelce through a workout this morning to test his injured knee, and that would determine his availability. Now, he did go DNP, so no practice, on Wednesday, yesterday, and that was expected. The nice thing about Travis Kelce, he doesn't need to practice in order to play. The bad thing about Travis Kelce, he's so stinking good and so important to this team that why would you rush him out there in week one? My initial read on this, my spidey senses say he's unlikely to play. So what do you do if you have Travis Kelce, or for that matter, maybe George Kittle, who did get limited work in practice yesterday, or Mark Andrews also got limited work in? I'm not as concerned about Andrews as maybe Kittle, and even Kittle, I think he could play. But if you had a tight end like that, who is going to miss a week? What are we looking for on waivers? Number one thing that I'm going to look for on waivers is not the guy, the next man up. Now, in Andrew's case, yeah, all right, Isaiah Likely, fine. But there's nobody there for Kittle. And even for the Kansas City Chiefs, I know a lot of people are going to be looking to Noah Gray, for example. Noah Gray would be an interesting player to use in DFS. Noah Gray would be an interesting player to possibly look at from a player prop standpoint, although I'm not seeing any lines. There's a very few lines for the Kansas City Chiefs right now in terms of the receiving game because all that hinges on Kelce. But for fantasy purposes, that's trying to get too cute, too creative, too far out over our skis on a player who's still going to be pretty far down rankings if Kelce doesn't go. You know, that's what we're looking at there. So instead, what I like to do is I like to use those rankings, really leverage them, like I talked about on the podcast yesterday, really leverage them to make these decisions. So for example, I'm going to look at my tight end rankings right now, which I'll be adjusting these and updating them later today over at FTNFantasy.com. But like right now, for example, all right, I'm going to look at the top of the list. There's no way a bulk of these guys are out there, right? Mark Andrews, no. TJ Hockenson, no. Darren Waller, no. Dallas Goedert, no. Tyler Higbee could be out there. Now, I think some of the masses have caught on to this. He was widely drafted too, but he wasn't drafted in 100% of leagues. But the masses have kind of caught on to the fact that, okay, Cooper Kupp is sidelined. He's going to be out this week. It may be further, right? We may not see Cooper Kupp for a little while. Sean McVay talked about it yesterday and hinted that there could be possible nerve issues here. Now, it could just be a soft tissue, but they're really trying to figure out what that is. Sean McVay said he could be out a couple weeks. He could be out. He could be put on injured reserve. There's a variety of potential outcomes. Now, I know I say injured reserve. That's the only thing anybody's ever going to hear. That was not the quote from McVay. He kind of, it felt like that situation, and maybe you've gotten into this. I know that Michael Scott, for example, in The Office said, sometimes I just start talking and I don't know where I'm going to go. And things just come out, right? Maybe that's what happened there. We don't know. Usually McVay downplays things, though, so that's why there's a little bit of concern here. But anyway, I digress. If you have Cooper Kupp, should you freak out? No. And in the short term, let's think about this. Who is the most likely to benefit from Cooper Kupp being sidelined? It's not Jefferson. It's not Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson is a high ADOT guy. And especially in this contest, I think Seattle's going to give them the short and intermediate. And that's, you know, that's that. So maybe Ben Skowronek or Puka Nacua, but really the guy who he has the most, you know, history with, Tyler Higbee. So Higbee could be an option. I doubt he's out there in your league, though. Okay, so after that, going down, Kittle, Ingram, Pitts, none, no, no. Njoku, no. Freiermuth, no. Okonkwo, no. Dalton Schultz, maybe. Dalton Schultz up here. He might be out there. Probably isn't. Probably isn't. So, I mean, we've got to go further down. Kmet, Laporta, maybe Laporta's out there. Kincaid is not out there. Irv Smith might be out there. I don't hate Irv Smith this week. Gerald Everett almost certainly is out there. And then we get to Greg Dulcich. So Dulcich, I have gotten some people asking me, hey, if Kelce isn't there, would you play Dulcich? Well, I don't know who else is on waivers, so I can't directly answer that question, but I am going to tell you I'm going to start the highest-ranked guy. So if Dulcich is the highest-ranked guy on waivers, then yeah. But remember, he's going to play the Joker role in that offense, which is going to be pretty volatile week over week. Like, there may be weeks where Dulcich is like a top two, top three tight end, and then there's going to be other weeks where he's like outside of the top 30, which is hard to do in tight end. So I would be really careful there. It's boom or bust. But the Joker role, by the way, in New Orleans when Sean Payton was there was Taysom Hill. Now, Dulcich isn't going to take snaps under center, but he's going to move around the formation. The true actual tight end in that offense, and this was, you know, I think they indicated this when the trade happened, is Adam Trautman. But he's not fantasy viable. So take a set of rankings. They could be my rankings. They could be Mike Clay at ESPN's rankings. I don't care whose rankings they are, but use them as your sort of baseline and then compare that to your waiver wire. It could be consensus rankings, whatever you want to use. Compare it to your waiver wire. Find the guy who's ranked highest. Don't go to your waiver wire and sort by the guy who's projected to score the most points, because that may not fit rankings. And rankings are really that end product. I would say projections are the starting spot, rankings are the end product, and then pick the highest ranked guy. That, my guys who are ranked highest, that's an indicator that I think they have the best chance of scoring more points than the guys ranked below them. Plain and simple. So try and do that. All right, let's get over to wide receiver cornerback matchups here for you this week. And week one is always going to be a little interesting because, you know, you'll have rookies out there, both at wide receiver and at cornerback. You'll have changing, you know, defensive schemes, you all have different faces in different places. But generally speaking, the number one piece of advice that I'm going to have, regardless of whether it's week one, week 17, or anywhere in between, is if you are in redraft fantasy football leagues only, this information really doesn't move the needle for you. This should not be something that you're using to make your start sit decisions. If you are going to do that, you're going to make mistakes. For example, I'll tell you flat out, Davante Adams has a matchup downgrade this week. I don't care if I have him in season-long fantasy football. I'm starting his rear end every week until further notice. Until he proves us wrong, I am starting him every stinking week. However, in DFS, which is the crowd that I'm talking to with this segment, it's really tough to trust him against Pat Surtain. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But that's something I see as a mistake that a lot of people make year in and year out. And I hope that, you know, we can prevent that mistake here for you. If you're a DFS player, this is going to help you. If you're a season-long fantasy football player, believe me, I have already embedded matchup information into projections, which then are reflected in rankings. So it's a different ballgame when we're talking about ownership percentage, salaries, you know, all of that stacking, all of those different things that come into play for DFS, cash game lineups, GPP lineups, like all of that is, it's so different than redraft. And that's why we have to add this layer of analysis, depth of analysis that we really isn't necessary in season long fantasy football. So I hope that helps, that explanation right there. But let's get into some upgrades for you here. Let's start with Calvin Ridley. Well, it's not just Calvin Ridley. It's Christian Kirk, Zay Jones as well. Why I chuckle is because I know I've been sort of the voice of reason, or I've been trying to at least be the voice of reason on Calvin Ridley through the fantasy draft season. But it's a really good matchup to start the season out. And I like all three of them. To be very clear here, we don't know what to expect out of Ridley in his first game in nearly 2 years. But look at the matchup on the other side. So you have Kenny Moore, Daryl Baker, and Dallas Flowers. All right, now Moore is a slot, and he gave up a 76% catch rate last season, which is pretty high for a slot. Slot receivers are going to give up a higher catch rate than what you're going to get on the perimeter receivers for better perimeter receivers. Like, you could be a good slot corner and still give up a decent, you know, a reasonably high catch rate. However, I do like the volume for Christian Kirk here. Like, that puts Christian Kirk in play. As for Ridley, he's going to see more of Flowers on the perimeter. He was very lightly used last year. He was an undrafted rookie free agent. He gave up 5 catches on the season. Like, he, you know, he only saw, what, 8 or 9 targets. But 85 yards on 5 catches, that's 17 yards per catch. So it could be good for all of these guys against the Indianapolis Colts. And honestly, I hope that it is. I want it to turn into a little bit of a shootout because I want to see what Anthony Richardson can do in a shootout. But I do like the upgrade here for the Jacksonville trio. All right, up next, we'll move to Seattle and the Rams. The Rams have not a lot of name brand on this team. The defense is, can you name the starting corners? Even if you're a Rams fan, I think you might be struggling here. Akello Witherspoon, you probably know that name. Kobe Durant and Darian Kendrick. So Durant and Kendrick were on the roster last year. Durant allowed a 68% catch rate. Kendrick gave up a team-high 14.6 yards per catch. Now, Witherspoon was with the Steelers last year. He's been around the league for a little bit. Allowed 22 catches on 29 targets, 4 touchdowns in 4 games played. Giddy up, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel also versus Arizona. I'm trying to get any piece of Washington against Arizona in this one. Your group of Cardinals corners, Antonio Hamilton allowed a 72% catch rate last season. Marco Wilson, 76 targets saw last year. That was the team high for the Arizona Cardinals. And Keytrell Clark, who is a 6-round selection, will be starting in this one. McLaurin looks like he's trending towards playing. Both he and Dotson are very, very intriguing this week. Also, like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin against a annually rough secondary for the Minnesota Vikings, it's Byron Murphy, a Caleb Evans, and Mekhi Blackmon as the starters. Does not inspire much here. But, of course, Baker's got to get it done. I actually really like Drake London this week. I'm going to have a lot of exposure to him in DFS. He's up against Dante Jackson, who allowed a 76% catch rate last season. Drake London was very, very, very good when Desmond Ridder took over down that last month of the season, down the stretch there. Keenan Allen. Okay, so we have a bad matchup for Mike Williams I'm going to get to in a moment. But Keenan Allen should see a lot of Kader Cahoe, and he saw 107 targets last season. So Allen should be very busy this week. And then I also like Treylon Burks. So you're going to hear a downgrade in a moment here for DeAndre Hopkins. So Burks on the other side of that. A lot of times if I give one guy a downgrade, you may see an upgrade on the other side, and that's the case for Burks. So he'll see plenty of Paulson Adebo. Adebo allowed 5 touchdowns last season in his coverage. So actually kind of dig this start here for Treylon Burks. Okay, let's go to the downgrades. The Jets are one of the best secondaries in the NFL. So who do they face? The Bills. Prime example of, if you have Stephon Diggs in redraft, who cares? You're using him. If you are looking at him in DFS, like especially for the Monday night, the single game slate, it's just, I would limit exposure. Sauce Gardner is outstanding. 46% catch rate in his rookie season. DJ Reed was quite good last year, 57% catch rate. Michael Carter in the slot allowed a 71% catch rate. Like I said, slot receivers can be higher, but only 9.7 yards per catch. Like, so he was stingy, kept everything in front of him. Not good for Diggs, not good for Gabe Davis. I mentioned Devontae Adams earlier. I don't like to predict a lot of shadow coverage situations in week one because there are so many moving pieces, but I can all but guarantee there's going to be a shadow here because Pat Surtain did shadow Adams both matchups last season because they're divisional rivals, right? So Adams got the better of Surtain in week 11. 5 catches, 85 yards, 2 scores. But, I mean, come on. he's still really good. He had a breakout year last year, allowed 10.2 yards per catch. It's also a Jimmy Garoppolo situation. So, again, don't freak out if you're looking at this for redraft. Trust the darn process and use your studs. But in DFS, I'd be underexposed to him. DeAndre Hopkins also figures to see a shadow from Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore he hasn't shadowed as much in recent seasons as he did earlier in his career, but they tend to use him against those bigger bodied receivers. Last year, he shadowed Mike Evans. He shadowed Justin Jefferson. Hopkins is a bigger bodied receiver. I could see this happening here, and that puts a little bit of a damper on D-Hop in this opener. Odell versus Houston. I love this matchup for the run game for Baltimore. I actually don't love it for the passing game. If there was one bright spot other than Damian Pierce last year for the Texans, it was their secondary. Derek Stingley didn't allow a single touchdown on 49 targets last year. That's not bad. That's not bad for Stingley. Alec Pierce, be careful about this one against Jacksonville. He's going to see more of Tyson Campbell than any of the other receivers. Tyson Campbell, if you don't know the name, this guy emerged as one of the better corners in the league last year. He allowed a 58% catch rate, 9.9 yards per reception. Not the best matchup here for Pierce this week. I mentioned Mike Williams. I don't know if Xavien Howard shadows or not, but even if he doesn't shadow, they're going to see each other plenty. Howard, very much hit or miss last year. However, the play here is that his presence, if he is on Williams, is going to funnel targets away from Williams. Finally, the trio of Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, and Kendrick Bourne, they are facing Philly. Philly is another one of these just really outstanding secondaries. James Bradbury back with the team, 46% catch rate last year, so good. Darius Slay, so good, 54% catch rate. We know how good he is. And then even in the slot for Juju, Avante Maddox is really stingy. Like, Juju may get his hands on the football, but Maddox didn't give up a single touchdown last year, keeps everything in front of him. That's a darn good secondary there for the Philadelphia Eagles, so I wouldn't be looking for any DFS value out of the Patriots wideouts in week one of the DFS slate. Of course, we got you covered over at FTN Daily if you want to check out. We got a brand new optimizer this year, a lot easier to use. So this is a good time to be alive, man. So just to fill you in, if you are a subscriber over at FTNFantasy.com, I will be updating rankings later today. And of course, you know, the best bet for your Thursday night contest, for your starting lineups the season long, just check back, you know, maybe an hour or so before the game, you know, 30 minutes before the game, just to get those lineups polished up for any of the Thursday night guys. Remember, don't keep Thursday night players in your flex spots. Put them in, you know, if it's a running back, put them in a running back spot. If it's a wideout, put them in a wideout spot. Don't put them in those flex spots. Gives yourself some flexibility over the weekend, you know, when we get to Sunday. And of course, I'll have those updates coming on Sunday as well. But before that, tomorrow I'm going to be back. We'll go game by game, give you some thoughts on each of these matchups. I'll give you a game pick, thoughts on the matchups, who's in, who's out, all that fun stuff based on the latest updates to rankings, projections, etc. FTNFantasy.com for all of your fantasy needs in the meantime. And remember, you can follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. Appreciate everybody reviewing the podcast. Keep doing it if you haven't done it already. Don't hold out on me, man. All right. Enjoy the football tonight. I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.